Awesome. So today is September.
All right. So how's the audio from this end?
Sorry?
How is the audio from this end?
It's good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Excellent.
Yeah, your audio is great. So we're just going to get underway. So it's September 14th, 2015, and this is our Mystical Monday for month of September. And so we have myself, Monica Lumley Piercy, and Richard Fogg here, along with our fun astrologer friend, Richard Paul Gear. It's really hard to describe you and introduce you because you're such a unique character. I think that's awesome. And we'll get into that in a second. So first of all, for anyone who's tuning in, I wanted to mention that North Bay coming up, North Bay, Ontario, from Friday, October the 16th, right through until Tuesday, October 20th. We're going to have a big workshop there called Opening Your Spiritual Heart, Workshops for Self-Evolution. And we're going to kick off the weekend events with a Friday night special appearance with myself and Lila Ward, who are going to be facilitating an evening of spirit messages, and it's going to be just an interesting flow of what's coming up between us and between our guides and yours. Saturday, two workshops to choose from, Art from the Heart, which is an intuitive art connection with Lila Ward, and myself. It's going to be some psychic and intuitive development. So 2-day-long workshops there. Saturday night, we're going to have Russell Allen Scott doing a talk called The Fulfillment Factor. And Russell Allen Scott is the author of Awakening the Guru in You. And he also facilitates coming home retreats, otherwise known as Enlightenment Intensive retreats. So he's doing a Saturday night talk, a Sunday workshop as well, called Living from Acceptance, and then all three of us are offering private sessions, one-on-one, that you can book individually on Monday and Tuesday for the day, and then we're going to wrap it all off with a meditation on Tuesday night, on the 20th, a group closing meditation. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're formally kicking that off, and we'll have more detailed or more details with you know, how to register and pricing and everything coming up eventually on naturalsynergy.com. So that's my announcement for there.
That's .ca, Mon.
.ca. Thank you for that correction. NaturalSynergy.ca. Yeah. So now we're going to turn our attention to Richard Gear, who's with us this month to talk about astrology and, you know, how to access our best potentials. And there's a lot astrologically even going on in the skies this month. It seems really intense. And, you know, we want to come through that being the best we that we can be. And Richard and I, Richard Fogg, Richard, this is going to get confusing. Richard and I had our astrology charts done just last month with Richard Gear, and boy, I tell you, and yeah, you had yours done a few years ago. I don't think I did back then, but I did have the pleasure of meeting you, Richard, down in Richmond Hill that time, and, you know, was quite fascinated by what you were offering and your character and your outlook on things. I find very unique, and, you know, the spin you put on astrology to me is rather enlightening. And so I think the one thing I would want to say when you know, we're talking about bringing out the best we that we can be in astrology, looking at our individual charts, is that you gave me something very interesting.
Just lose you? Can you hear me on my end?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, perfect. Continue.
Yeah, so
good.
When you read my chart for me, something that was just so rather profound for me was the way you described me being a rebel. And I've been fighting. I've been a rebel about being a rebel all my life. So I've been, you know, fighting that aspect of myself, you know, of what it is to be, you know, a revolutionary of sorts, and always feeling like, you know, geez, I always just seem to get into things like this, you know, and every time I get involved with a group, I start seeing these things, and, you know, and there's just something in me that stirs, and I just want to sit back and, you know, be more easygoing like everybody else, and... You know, and then I realized in your reading that I was actually fighting with an aspect of myself. I was trying to be like everybody else, and I'm not like everybody else. And you gave me permission, somehow in that phone session, you gave me permission to be the rebel that I am. I'm here to stir things up. I'm meant to stir things up. But I want to do it in a positive way that people grow and that I grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a paradigm buster. That's how I see it. And just that piece
yep.
alone, getting that part about me based on all of the things you pointed out in my chart, it was like a sigh of relief. It's like,
yep.
this is who I am. And I just had this sort of like, ah, it's okay. I'm supposed to be this way. I'm built for it. And it's good.
Exactly.
It's a real positive shift for me. So I just wanted to say that in introducing you and so I want to first off mention that Richard is available for private astrology chart sessions, and you can email him at lionfou, L-I-O-N-F-O-U, at hotmail.com, and you can find him on Facebook, Richard Paul Geer, G-E-E-R. And you can find him there as well if you'd like to have your private chart done. And I'd say it's well worth your while to do it.
Absolutely. It's an awesome experience.
Yes.
And I just wanted to echo that in the years that I've known you, Richard, you're so varied and multifaceted and multi-talented that even with all the years I've known you, I think there's no way that you know, Monica or I could possibly encompass a proper introduction of you. So maybe you would delight us with an introduction of yourself and give people a sense of who you are, what you're up to, and then I'm sure launch into whatever you want to speak about. Ideally, the general topic will be astrology, if not the focus, because I know you explore into so many areas. And if you would, at some point when you're talking about the astrology, I would really appreciate if you would talk a little bit about what I understand with you is that you know each planet as an individual conscious entity, as a person, with its own, each one with its own personality. And part of what I find remarkable
yep.
when you're doing a chart is it seems more like hearing about a family interactions or a family relationship rather than I'll say what comes across for some as astrological info. It's more like how family members relate to each other and how that affects whoever's having the chart read. So unless there's anything else you wanted to add, Monica, perhaps we can just launch right in, Richard.
Yeah, let's launch right into Richard.
All right. Yeah, well, I'll get to me in a second. I just want to say for a second that Well, okay, we'll start with me. That basically, I grew up in a revolutionary era. I grew up in a time very much like this time when everything is being questioned, when we're looking at how to reinvent civilization. We're looking at what is a human being? What do we deserve? Who are we really? What can we create? What are the possibilities of this crazy species known as Homo sapiens, you know? Or sometimes who I believe is about to graduate to Homo magus, man the magician. You know, how do we invent this life before we croak? You know, what are we meant to do here? What is it the most fulfilling possible expression of who we are? And the many layers of life and the many layers of our character that want to be cultivated so we can have as rich an experience as we can possibly have. That's my approach to life. That's my approach to astrology. And I went to 12 schools and lived everywhere before I went to Brown. And though I majored in creative writing, I did a lot of work in comparing Eastern and Western psychology, two different models. One has to do with cosmic enlightenment and supreme fulfillment and happiness and all that. And the other is about individuation. What is the voice that is just you, as Dylan put it, to keep it in your mind and not forget that it is not he or she or them or it that you belong to. And to go to find that unique genius that is only yours, to find that inner voice that you answer to find that fulfillment that only you can know, and nobody else's advice is going to do it for you, including the astrologer. And so I just, you know, the vocation of astrology just came to me. It was a perfect fit. And my approach to it is what they call free will astrology, which is also the website of Rob Bresnik, one of the premier astrologers of our time. Free will meaning two people can have the exact same chart, born at the same time, the same date, the same rough geography, and yet have very different character, because one of them is facing the possibilities and overcoming the dragons and the dangers of their chart, because we all have challenges that are unique to us. You know, the challenge of an outlaw, you know, are unique challenges. The challenge of someone who's meant to teach, those are specific challenges. The challenges of someone whose nature is deeply emotional and they work in that plane, and maybe they're highly vulnerable, yet they're highly sensitive and they have special gifts, but they have to take care of them or they'll drown in their emotions. Another person may be extremely brilliant, but they have a tendency to be too dry and detached and out of touch with the richness of life. So each of us has a different set of gifts. Mm-hmm. Each of us has a different set of challenges. Each of us has a different environment we were born into, because astrology is a map both of your character and of the circumstances that show up that lead you along in your story in life. Maybe your dad died when you were 8, or maybe, you know, various things showed up as I call initiations into your character. You know, in any good movie, the hero meets certain challenges in the beginning and is forced to grow in their character. You know, whether your name is Han Solo, you know, whether your name is Harry Potter, et cetera, you know. And so to get in touch with the genius that is only ours, to get in touch with our nature, to get in touch with that which we can stand behind. You know, what is it in us that decides I'm going to be an astrologer, or I'm going to get married, or whatever, you know? And so the ability to get the reins of our life, it's very interesting. I do a kind of astrology also where every degree is like a different sign. Like I was looking at the chart of tonight, right? Mm-hmm. And I had a feeling we were going to start just slightly late because the moon changed into a new degree about 4 minutes after the hour. And I said, I hope actually we are a little late because I like that degree. And the sun degree tonight, the 22nd day of Virgo, which is about 8 days and change before the end of summer, the symbol for that is a royal coat of arms. And what that means is how to take charge of your life, how to be the king or the queen of your life is the theme for tonight. Okay. And I remember in astrology, every moment, every event has a horoscope. Every single second has a horoscope. And one of my jobs sometimes is to time when people are going to sign a contract or when they're going to get married to have the optimum chart. And so I remember one time I was years ago just started living with a woman, and she had a very young baby. And there's a moment when I made the decision All right, I'll change the poopy diapers too, you know, and like I'm all in. That the moment, the chart for that moment was a royal coat of arms. In other words, I'm willing to be the king of this space. I'm willing to clean the toilet. I'm willing to do what it takes to own this space. That was the royal coat of arms. And then the moon degree, starting about 4 minutes after the hour, was the 11th degree of Libra, which is a professor peering over his glasses at the students. So how to deliver a master teaching in how to be the king or queen of your life. So that was the chart that started at 4 minutes after the hour.
Interesting.
Wow.
And both of those, the 11, the 22nd degree of Virgo, the 11th degree of Libra, the 11 and the 22 are called master numbers. The 11 is the master teacher. It's a higher level of 2. It's like Mr. Miyagi or Yoda, you know, or Morpheus, you know. And 22 is the master builder. It's not just about how do I pay my bills, but how do I bring something to the tribe? How do I bring something to the world that is what spirit wants to bring through me as a selfless contribution to the world? And so a horoscope can be read on many levels. You know, I once met my astral twin, born the same time zone, you know, same date. And he walked in with his red beard and silver wire rims, and I had a red beard and silver wire rims, and he had been teaching yoga, I was teaching astrology, and he was an artist, I was a writer. And what was the other thing? I said, did you go vegetarian in the summer of 72? He said, yeah, you know, et cetera, you know. And my business partner, the karate and yoga guy, because I was 23, 24 at the time, he said, I wonder where my astral twin is. And I said, he's probably in prison, Paul. Because his chart is so intense that unless you master it, you're screwed, right? And so it's important to understand that free will element. That when I look at a chart, I don't say you are this way. I don't want to limit someone. In fact, I always say don't believe a word I say. My job is to trigger you, is to trigger your insight, is to get you thinking about things and feeling about things. And looking inside and seeing what rings for you. I don't want to limit you. I want to expand you. You know, I want to just present possibilities. Does this ring? Like someone, you know, the way we fall in love with a song, because somehow that song speaks to our experience. I want to speak to your experience. I found out very early in my career that if I did the reading from my head, I fried. Okay. But if I took on the chart like an actor and I tried to embody the chart, tried to feel what would it feel like to have this chart, to be this person, you know, and then tried to reflect that back to the person. Not only was it fun, did it feel good, did it feel right, but the other person always got it. The rarest of exceptions, they always got it. It always inspired them and took them places, you know. And so I often say to people, I'm not talking to your mind. I'm talking to your whole being. I'm talking to your emotions, I'm talking to your aesthetic sense, I'm talking to your senses, I'm talking to your intuition, I'm talking to all the elements of you. And as you were bringing up, Richard, you know, the planets represent what some people call the archetypes, you know, the different muses, the different voices inside you, the different qualities. You have an intellect, Mercury. You have an emotional, instinctual nature, the moon. You have a will and a desire for full self-expression and a light and a presence that you radiate. That's the sun, you know. You have the sense of magic or style or beauty or elegance or fun, which is Venus. A lot of times you might be the most qualified person for the job, but you haven't cultivated your Venus. You got no charisma, and so you don't get chosen in the interview, you know. We need to cultivate all aspects of our character, and I do my readings to support you in doing that, in finding your magic and being your magic and embodying your magic and expressing your magic and living your magic so that your entire life is magic. And that includes the magic of how do you do relationships? You know, what is your style of doing relationships, which is different from anybody else, Venus? What is your kind of discipline that is different from anybody else, Saturn? The kind of discipline that you actually enjoy, even when it's tough. You know, Saturn. What is, you know, your passion, let's say, you know, at several levels. At one level, how do you assert yourself, Mars? You know, and What is your way of moving that is natural to you? Some people, they're just aggressive, impatient, and they just move that way. Maybe they have Mars in Aries or something. Someone else, their way of moving is subtle. It's on feeling, and they just sort of slide through life subtly, just feeling their way. Maybe that's Mars in Cancer, Mars in Pisces, you know? Each of us has a nature. You know, each of us has particular, I won't say conflicts, but there are aspects in our chart that are easy to do, like aspects of relationship with different parts of you. Like, for example, your intellect and your emotions. If they flow really easily, then you're really good at feeling and thinking at the same time. If they don't flow so easily, then you have to work on that. Either your emotions cloud your judgment or your mind gets in the way of your feelings. You know, or maybe you have a seeming conflict or a challenge between the thinker and the doer. That'll probably be Hamlet, you know. You know, what's that line he said? Thus conscience, which meant thinking in those days, conscience doth make cowards of us all. You know, and the tendency to overthink things, you know. But every chart is perfect. Every chart is meant to work. There's no good or bad charts, and don't buy and don't believe any astrologer who tells you that. Every moment is perfect. Yeah, at some point, your mother's probably going to die before you, but that's just life, you know. It's not always fun, okay, but it can always be enriching. It can always be the perfect movie, you know. And so how do we discover that we are more than just a body, a set of emotions, and a mind? We are vast. We have huge resources and huge riches inside us. We have a song that is only ours. How do we dedicate our lives to that? How do we cultivate that? And how do we, there's your birth chart, and then there's what's called transits and progressions, when things happen at certain times, you know? And I often can see things coming, and I always try to put a positive spin on it. You know, let's say Pluto, which is total death and rebirth, is about to hit their Venus, which is their relationships, among other things, you know. And so I can help them say, listen, you got some transformations coming. And they're all positive, but you're going to be taken way down into your guts. And welcome it and embrace it. Big changes are coming. They're meant to happen. This is the best that could happen. This is the worst that could happen. So don't, if you handle it this way, you may not like what you get. If you handle it this way, you're liable to have it turn out better, but don't believe me. Just file what I said. Just file it. That's all I'm asking. Just consider it. And so I try to take people on a voyage into the song of them. Mm-hmm. And to get back to the theme that we, and then I want to get back to a little more about the planets, that the planets, I call it professors. The planets are professors. Okay. When Saturn is visiting some of your planets, then that's Professor Saturn is trying to teach you to get it together and don't get sloppy and do things thoroughly, or the karma is going to kick your butt really hard, you know. And to always never settle for a bad time. Always be willing to shift how you hold it, to be the king and queen of your life. Hey, it's my life. It's supposed to turn out. It's supposed to turn out today. How do I make the magic happen today? What do I need to shift? What do I need to learn? What is Professor whoever today? Professor Mars is saying, be bold, you know, ask him out or whatever, you know, be bold. Other times, you know, it's say, don't be bold, you know. And so and it's my belief, you know, I haven't even had an aspirin in 44 years. I've always been about self-healing. And that behind the diseases are the eases. And I think of 22 eases, the 12 signs and the 10 planets. And if we cultivate the eases, we don't get the diseases. If we cultivate security, the higher side of Saturn, then we don't get fear, the lower side of Saturn. And fear has its place, obviously. But persistent fear is unhealthy, bad for the system. It causes illnesses. Too much caution, that's another Saturn disease, is bad for the system. Too much of being a control freak, Saturn is bad for the system. But integrity, seeing things through, you know, staying up all night if you have to do that to finish a project because you promised you would, you know, integrity, all of that, that's the higher side of Saturn. And each planet has a gift. Uranus, freedom, creativity, you know, life being eternally new, you know, high level intuition guiding you perfectly. That's Uranus. And each of us has a different take on each one, you know. And so, you know, I'm very interested in the scientific proof of astrology. And what I've looked in my own life, and like, for example, one out of, let's say, 20 people at the most has the planet Uranus rising in the east. And yet I am surrounded by them. Almost all the key people in my life have that. The odds against that are like billions to one, okay? Yeah. Or one time, five women wrote me poems over a period of several years, every single one a Scorpio. And Richard, with his mathematical mind, will tell you the odds against any five people being the same sign is 12 to the fourth power, which is like 20,000 to one, okay? And so in my life, I've seen these amazing, amazing, amazing patterns, you know? And I believe we need to cultivate all the planets. We also have, well, we have all the planets inside us, and we have all the signs inside us. We all have something that we do in a Cancer way, a Virgo way, a Scorpio way, you know? And we always, we know we have somewhere to put our passion. That's where Scorpio is in our chart, you know? Or Mars or Pluto in our chart. And we have some place that where our intellect really focuses or et cetera, you know? And so an initial reading of what is essentially an hour is only a taste.
Uh-huh. Still there, Richard?
Richard? Yeah?
That's better. Yeah, you went blank there for a moment.
Oh, no.
Carry on.
How long was that?
How are we doing now?
Now you're going blank a little bit. I don't know what's happening here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we're good.
All right, good.
A couple of words, so we're good.
All right. I have no idea what's happening with all that.
You know what?
The weather's not that strange here, but yep.
As soon as you said the full hour was just a glimpse, I agree, because, you know, after, you know, we did an hour, well, really, I mean, we did two 40-minute sessions, you sent us, and then we finished off on the phone with both Richard and I, and, you know, so that, and even with that, I'm just thinking, like, there's so much more that I'd want to delve into.
Oh, yeah.
Just so much more.
Oh,
it just opened me up to, you know, a whole lot of things, you know, like...
Yeah, and I have all kinds of original research that I'm doing, you know, into the story of people's lives and the chapters of people's lives, you know. It's like our life has so many layers, and we're sleeping through it. We haven't had the code. I mean, we're doing the best we can, but I am really studying original directions in astrology to try to find a way to crack the code of people's story, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What is really going on the next 2.5 years or whatever, and how does the following 2.5 years build on that 2.5 years? Because we need to be excited about our lives. You know, consumerism and all that stuff is a substitute, or watching – I mean, yeah, watch whatever TV, go to whatever movies you want, but let's get in touch with our movie. Let's get in touch with what we are the star of. Get in touch with the possibilities, you know, of – And the possibilities are more about how deeply we see who we are, how deeply we communicate with our people, how much we see, how clearly we see the opportunities of where life wants to grow, how deeply we're in touch with our enthusiasm and our sense of the possible, which is Jupiter in the chart, you know, in the Tarot, it ties in with the Wheel of Fortune, you know, that. And in Latin and French, the word possible and powerful and potential are all the same word. You know, it's that which could be. And I'm fond of saying that the word fact it comes from a past participle in Latin. The word potential comes from a present participle, meaning powerful, whereas fact means that which has been done or made. So passive people live in the facts. Powerful people live in the potential. What does it mean to live in the potential, to be enthused by the potential, to be gambling on the possibilities, to be aiming for the most delicious possible life? That's what astrology is a tool to help people with. And it's a tool to understand, why does my girlfriend and I, why do we keep banging our heads around this particular issue? So I look deep into the chart and go, that's because you're trying to communicate this and she's trying to communicate this. She needs this. She needs to be heard on this level. You're wanting this. You need to be heard and supported on that level, and maybe there's a way to work it out, and maybe you've got a block here, but, you know, et cetera. How to dig into the code of our lives so that we don't feel helpless, we feel like the king or the queen, and we welcome the dragons, taking us back to the theme of destiny, right, which is what how you advertised it. You know, astrology can tell you about what's happening in your life, but it also tells you what's happening inside you. And that any great heroic story is the interface of character and circumstance, character and possibility, and where your character and your desires and your nature and your gifts intersect with what's around you and who's around you, and you gain the ability to shape a story, to shape your destiny, to know where you want to go. And if you fail today, fine, you fail today. What'd you learn? You know?
Mm-hmm.
The planets are, you know, they're like different voices. They're looking down on the humans and trying to break through to the humans, and so they can, the humans can pass all the initiations. Just like Venus is not shooting people that can fall in love, right? Maybe Mars has a daughter who shoots people, and all of a sudden they become bold and assertive, right? Or I had Uranus as a mad scientist. Uranus zaps people, and they become original and crazy and inventive and getting outside the box, you know. Neptune zaps people, they become totally compassionate, or they find spiritual bliss, you know. And the same thing with the chart of the world in general. Like we've just been passing through the most radical time since the 1960s. And all of a sudden, everyone's questioning everything. New political parties are popping up, and people are voting for unusual people who are outside the box, and people are looking at how to reinvent our civilization. You know, they did that in the 60s. They did it in the 1930s after the stock market collapse, and all people trying to look at a different way of living. So collectively, this is a very inventive time. So you can do, as I said, you can do the chart of anything. You can do the chart of an idea. If all of a sudden they go, oh, maybe I should do this, I'll do the chart at that moment, you know, and study it. Or I do the chart of when I met someone. That's the chart of the relationship, you know. The chart of when you first go out with someone, you know, the chart. And so to me, and it's not meant to fill your head with a lot of belief systems. It's meant to just to get you to look at things differently. And I'm fond of saying I meet people twice, often. I meet them in the flesh or their personhood, and I meet them on the page in their chart. And it's always very interesting. Whichever one I do first, sometimes I see the chart, and then I went, I wonder what this person is like. I wonder what this chart looks like in the flesh, right? And to me, astrology is endlessly fascinating on that level, you know. Because sometimes I'll fall in love with a chart. I go, wow, that's an amazing person. And then you get to meet the actual person. See, are they really like that? And yeah, they sure are. You know, and sometimes they'll surprise you, you know. But I'll give you one more. Well, go ahead.
Have you ever found significant, differences in terms of you do the chart and you think they're going to be a certain way and they're very different, or the other way around?
Mm-hmm.
Where you know them and do the chart, and it's like, wow, this is not the person I know. Go ahead.
I've been surprised now. I mean, one time I knew a friend, a good friend of mine, who was also years and years ago, who was a lesbian, and she left her what's that sound?
That's still someone there? Else coming on, ideally.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. All right. Okay, great.
Yeah.
But I was doing it. I used to do trades for someone in return for weightlifting at her place, and she left her old lover, whom I liked a lot, and she wanted me to do the chart of her new lover and her. And of course, I was kind of biased against it. But then I looked at the charts and went, "Oh shit, you belong together."
Oh, that makes sense, eh?
Oh yeah, and. what else am I going to say about that? And I love doing the charts of famous people. I'm really studying the charts of famous people and what happened to their chart at certain times. Maybe they became the head of the Soviet Union or something, you know, and what was going on then, why did this happen to that person? What was the positive purpose of that awful thing that happened to that person or whatever, you know, or is there a way that person could have handled that challenge better than the way that they did? Especially when you have a person in power, because what they do affects millions of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Or do the chart of the inauguration of something. Like Barack Obama, his rising degree, which is 19 Aquarius, is firefighters working together to quell a forest fire. And he walked into the presidency in the midst of an utter mess, you know. What was I going to say about that? And so to me, I'm someone who is always looking for a positive spin on everything, but not Pollyanna. I mean, face the darkness, understand what you're dealing with, and look at it like I'm supposed to win, not my ego. You know, your ego doesn't always win, thank God.
Uh-huh.
You remember that country song, I Thank God for Unanswered Prayers? Where he you know, prayed that he could marry a particular person when he was in high school, and turned out she was the wrong person completely for him, you know. So to get outside of ourselves and to be able to see things in perspective is so key, to see things differently, because we all have our biases, what my teacher calls walking around with your red tinted eyeglasses on, pointing a finger at all the red in the world, you know. And to see, what's that line from Anais Nin? We don't see things as they are, we see things as we are. You know, and what you think of someone is a reflection about you as much as that person, you know. And so to be able to see ourselves with perspective, and also, as I said, to respect our nature, and also to see what's coming up, what is the challenge right now, and to really not feel it with your head, but go inside and go, yes, that's where I want to grow. And yes, I'm a little bit scared about that. And yes, I'm going to have to overcome this in order to do that. To really, really live in the possibilities, to live in your true desires, you know, and to understand the universe supports you. It supports you. It wants to make that happen for you. But there are initiations that you need to go through. So there's the birth chart, but then there's what's going on now, you know, and what's going on now and how it tied in with what you learned last year and where it wants to take you in the future and what your life wants to become. And again, I don't believe a word I say, but it's like, can you own that? Does that feel right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Does it make you feel enthused? You know, does it shift how you hold that rejection someone just left, your lover just left you or something or whatever it was? Why? Where's that leading you? What is it you truly want right now, you know? And what, you know, and so it's that great line from T.S. Eliot, we had the experience but missed the meaning, you know. And when you find the meaning, it shifts how you hold the experience. And so that to me is what astrology is about, you know, is that ability to get some perspective, that ability to hold it all in a positive way, that ability to honor the hero that is you, the magic that is you, to really own it and to realize you're not like anybody else. You have Mercury in Aries, your friend has Mercury in Libra. So you're not going to talk like him, you know. You're not going to think like him. You have Moon in Scorpio, he's got Moon in Virgo. Okay, so you're really, really intense and he's not, you know. You know, that person's way of organizing life, Saturn, is very systematic and rational. Your way of organizing life is far more intuitive, you know. Can you find your nature? Can you find, and also, can you recognize the things that don't work? You know, all right, Moy, I really turned off that person just when they were about to hire me, you know. What did I do? You know. And what could I do different next time? Or is that just the way it is and it's perfect and screw them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How can I put it? It's really about honoring yourself. Because to me, doing a reading is, in a way, a form of worship, you know? I am honoring a person. I am trying to reflect their beauty and their power so that they can own their lives, so, you know? Anything else I want to say about that? That each sign, we have all signs within us, you know. Each sign is a different style, a different way of doing things. And, you know, you got the water signs, you know, three different sides of our emotional nature. We have the air signs, three different minds inside us. We have an intuitive mind, we have a rational mind, we have an aesthetic mind. And the way I put it, the aesthetic mind says, let's go to the party, you know, and the rational mind says, okay, it's almost midnight. I have to get up at 8. I guess I should go home, you know, and then you're on the bus on the way home and you overhear a conversation that's in your field and you go, wow, that's amazing. And they get off the bus and you say, you know what, I'm going to walk behind them a little bit. That's the intuitive mind. And, you know, it's like, To be fully in all three minds, to be fully in all three, the feeling nature. Can you feel your own soul? Can you feel what it is to be real, to be yourself? That's cancer. Can you feel what you're passionate about and your connection to that which is not you? That's Scorpio. Can you feel your ultimate dreams, what you believe in? Can you feel your ideals? Can you feel that which inspires you? You know, be associated with Pisces. Three fires, three ways of energizing yourself. You know, three earths, three ways of grounding yourself. And how do we cultivate it all? How do we cultivate every bit of it so we can be awake to all aspects of our nature, so we can nourish ourselves in all the ways that we need to nourish ourselves? Sometimes we need relationships to nourish ourselves. Sometimes we need solitude to nourish ourselves, you know? Anything else I want to say about that? So getting back to the destiny thing, you know, I think it's also, as I was saying, being on time for the lessons. And again, a lot of it is like to expect fulfillment. That's what it is to be a rich person, you know, is that we expect to be fulfilled today. What other riches is there, right? And when you expect to be fulfilled, when you aim at that highest level of quality of experience, then it shifts how you hold everything. Okay, I'm really bored at work today, you know, or man, I'm pissed off at my lady or whatever, you know. And you, when you expect to be fulfilled, you raise your standards of how you play life. And then you raise your ability to learn the lessons of Professor Venus and Professor Uranus and Professor Saturn so that you very quickly cultivate whatever you need to cultivate to master that situation. And so that's ultimately what I'm doing with astrology, you know, is to give a vision of beauty and of power and of their unique nature, and then to support them if they want to talk about something. You know, can we do a quick look at my boyfriend's chart? Yeah, sure. Oh, wow, he's got this nature. I bet you that bugs that side of your nature, but you like him really because of this, and you're trying to work out this, right? Yeah, you know. And so that to me is what it means to be free will astrologer. I'm trying to increase, not decrease, your freedom. And that's why it's a very tricky, tricky job, because you don't want to give people fixed limiting concepts about themselves. You're an Aries, therefore you're like this. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. You know? It's more like, to me, you're an Aries, and therefore you're dealing with this. And how you deal with it is your business, you know? Anything else I want to say about that? No, I think that's good. And also, let's see. You know, again, it's that issue of what is health? And I've been blessed to be very healthy in my life, you know, and what is health? What does it mean to not be stressed out? What does it mean to move through, to use depression as a doorway to growth? What does it mean to not be limited by fear? What is it, you know, and each planet or each part of our character has a set of lessons, you know, a set of growth lessons about it, you know. That take us from dis-ease to ease, from feeling limited and sad and not fully living to knowing that we completely believe in ourselves and completely believe in our possibilities, and we're going to face everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, a pretty good overview of how I approach this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Quite awesome.
It is. It's a unique view, and I've always looked at astrology as, you know, because you can't read the newspaper and say, okay, I'm Cancerian, I'm going to read my horoscope today. and get anything that's really remotely accurate, because, you know, there's all the other factors that you stated, like two people could have, like, same charts and still have totally different kinds of experiences and things, and, you know, of course they would have those things that are similar, but, you know, we can't just look at the paper, read something, and say, that's the kind of day I'm going to have.
Can you hear me?
To me, it's as unique as our fingerprints. I always say. As unique as our fingerprints.
It could be as little as 1 minute difference in the birth time, right?
Yeah.
And I remember I did a few years ago, I did in-person reading with two twins, teenage girls, and their parents were there as part of the reading. And I was able to pinpoint what I felt were the key differences in their character, that tiny little difference in the birth time made. Because just a little shift in the birth time can just shift the balance of power between certain planets. You know, like maybe the chart shows a bit of a conflict between being really studious and being really social. And one twin will be more one way, the other twin will be more the other way, you know. What else can I say about that? I'm going to get into something here. Chart of relationships. There's something I was going to get to. Twins, people born at the same time. No, I lost it. Let's see.
I also have a question. So, since you look at events and you look at famous, personages, etc., if you were looking at the result of an election, so if you take the election as the starting point, it's like an event. Or are you looking more at the person who won the election? Are you looking at both? How would you do that?
Well, you know, it was interesting because I was partly wrong in the last Canadian election.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of really radical planets.
Mm-hmm.
He became the opposition for the first time ever. And the other was that the conservatives got a majority, so almost dictatorial control with less than 40% of the vote. But the chart had indicated really radical energies, and yet we had a conservative government. Well, but if you look at it long term, the conservative policies radicalize a lot of people, see?
Yeah.
So people would do civil disobedience and all kinds of stuff, you know? And so I'm wrong. There are times when I've been quite wrong because I just wasn't subtle enough. And that's why I learned a lot from that. I'm going to tell you one example. Way back in 1986, I was down in Providence, Rhode Island, visiting for a little while. And Providence was really the foundation of freedom of conscience in the modern world. There was this guy named Roger Williams in 1636 who believed that the state shouldn't force people to worship in a certain way. People should be free to worship their own way. And so the Puritans kicked him out. And the Narragansett Indians gave him some land, and he said, "And having a sense of God's merciful providence unto me in my distress, I called the place Providence, desired that it might be a haven for persons distressed for conscience." So the freethinkers all went to his place, okay? And they were celebrating the 350th anniversary of that in 1986. And I said, "Well, you should really not just another anniversary. This is a very special story here." And the people who were organizing the festival, they just did not get it. And I thought about it. I said, maybe the real anniversary is 360 years, you know, like degrees of the zodiac. And I thought, no, it's actually 365 and a quarter years. It's a whole story. It's a year for a day. It's called a progressed solar return. It's such a long cycle, nobody would think of it, right? And I thought ahead, and I said, let's see, just 1636 plus 365 and a quarter. This is January 86. I'm going, I wonder if something earth-shattering is going to take place in September 2001. This is January 86, I'm thinking this, okay? And I forgot about it even when it happened. I forgot about it for 2 months. I was studying all the charts and trying to understand, why did this happen? What's the divine purpose of this? What's the best that could happen out of this? What's really going on? You know, and I saw Pluto on the U.S. chart, which among other things can be totalitarian stuff and underground nasty stuff. And I realized what it was, what I had anticipated back in 86, that there would be a showdown between freedom of conscience and the coalition of guns, money, and religious bigotry trying to destroy freedom of conscience. And looking at that from that perspective, I think that's exactly what happened in September 2001. You know, is that it set off this showdown between these repressive forces of patriarchal religion, patriarchal capitalism, and patriarchal militarism, all combining to form this corrupt mess of Western terrorism, Islamic terrorism, etc. And underneath it all are the people saying, listen, why can't we create a sanctuary for freedom of conscience everywhere in the world? Why can't we create communities of mutual support, yet still freedom? It's not top-heavy socialism, top-heavy communism, top-heavy capitalism, top-heavy fascism, top-heavy religion. It's true democracy. It's true community. It's community of individuals and in a way that don't have this 1% up there at the top telling everybody else what to do. And so I'm bringing this up because of all things, you know, because so many times I've thought something was going to happen astrologically and it didn't. I doubted myself in January 86. All, you know, so as soon as I said, I wonder if something earth-shattering is going to take place in September 2001, I went, nah, you know. You know, it's never as dramatic as you think it's going to be. Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it is.
Sometimes it is, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. but it's so useful in astrology to see something coming, you know. And there's also, by the way, not only can you time events, you know, when do you sign a contract and when do you, you know, have a date with someone, when do you start a business? Because I do business charts too, you know. When do you have a certain event, you know, and what's called a solar return, which is when the sun or the earth comes back to where it was when you were born, which is 365 and a quarter days, right?
Right.
So it's not always on your birthday. It's 6 hours later, 6 hours later, 6 hours later, and then after leap year, it's 18 hours earlier, okay? So your solar return is always at a different time of day is what I'm saying. So it's not always on your birthday. It could be just before or just after. But I can look decades ahead and tell you the exact moment of your solar return. And if depending on where you are on your birthday, you will get a different chart. At one time in 2002, I traveled 9 hours one way on a bus on my birthday, all alone, to get the perfect chart for the coming year. And believe me, it was not convenient. I'm like, this is how you're celebrating your birthday? And they're like, well, if you don't do this, what kind of friggin' witch doctor are you, man? It's not always convenient. You know, you got to do what you got to do because you got to test this thing out. So I set it up to have the perfect chart, you know, and I set it up. I set the chart up because you can set a chart up for different purposes. What do you want? And also where you live on the earth, you will have a different, what they call location chart, which will bring out different sides of you. Okay. And so I set the chart up for maximum ambition. I wanted to be ambitious. And I set it up.
We lost you there, Richard.
This would be some big vocational breakthrough. And what happened, actually, was that a filmmaker friend invited me to spend Christmas with her. And then we wound up bonding and working together and being closely aligned for 7 years. And she was the most ambitious human being I've ever met in my life. Okay? Endlessly disciplined and focusing on these passionate creative projects. And so I won't claim that something caused anything, but that 9-hour voyage, and of course it's at least twice that because you're either going to go back or you can go somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
That endless bus ride that I did on my birthday triggered this chart, which triggered a complete change of my life, completely. I sort of caught a ride in her shooting star for 7 years, you know, and we put on an international film festival. I edited several of her books, you know, and so astrology to me is a doorway into a magical domain. Just as science is based on the idea that everything is governed by laws, thermodynamics, gravity, you name it, right? And astrology to me, everything is held together by story. You're in a story. Everything is held together by theme. You know, there was a showdown a few centuries ago between science and religion. It's coming back again, of course, between science and religion. And finally, the showdown was this. Science said, okay, you can handle meaning and we will handle the facts. Okay, we'll put a man on the moon and you can tell people about the ultimate purpose of their life. Well, astrologers get shot at from both sides. Okay, the fundamentalists get shot at us because we're the devil, right? And the scientists get shot at us because we're superstition, or get the shoot at us because what they think we're superstition, right? Which is, and that's because we insist on reuniting fact and meaning. You know, we're not astronomers, we're astrologers. We believe there's meaning. And we're not saying the planets are causing it. The planets are just, you know, the noon whistle doesn't make you hungry for lunch. It just tells you what time it is, you know. And so the planets don't cause, they indicate. They reveal, you know. And again, as I say, don't believe me, but look into your life. Because we're looking for the key. I remember one time at the RISD, Rhode Island School of Design, one of the top art schools in the world, I was there at their coffee house in the bathroom, and in the men's room, someone had written on the wall, "This life is a test. It is only a test. If it was a real life, you would have been told where to go and what to do." definitely you should go, nothing like the graffiti of the men's room of an art school, right?
Absolutely.
That the idea that we do have a master key and that we do have a place inside us that knows, not in conceptually, but feels, knows what we're here for. You know, and it is the trueness, being true to those values, true to our inspiration, true to our own magic, true to that slow burn thrill of right living, you know, that banked fire of steady, focused passion that is a sign of heroic character. You know, it's the ability to get that sense of the meaning and the purpose. Why did I take a body? Why? What am I up to before I croak? You know, what, you know, how do I play my hand to the fullest? What is it about me? As I used to say, would you pay to watch the movie of your life? You know, you know, what is it that makes you magical? And can you bring it? You got to find it and then bring it. And astrology's job is to help you find it so you can bring it.
Mm-hmm.
And then to cultivate your relationships. I often call my friends Mahatmaji. And Mahatma means great soul. You know, it's the same root as magnanimous in Latin. Mahatma is from Sanskrit. And so, and G means like sir or ma'am or honored one. And so Mahatmaji is, I'm saying, I honor that you are a great soul. I honor that you have found your true nature and you are living your true nature with bravery and discipline and joy, which is all you can ask of anyone, you know? And so what does it mean to be a Mahatma? What does it mean to be the king or queen of your life? You know? And so that to me is what free will astrology, as opposed to what you get from some people. And I'll always say, whatever oracle you check, astrologer, tarot, mystic, whatever it is, psychic, whatever oracle you check, never surrender your sovereignty, never surrender your enthusiasm, never surrender your sense that it always wants to be a good life. And I learned that long before I went pro in 74. Back in 71, when I was just getting into it, I saw what superstition means. Superstition means to believe in anything but the eternity of good. To believe in any power but one power, of supreme good, of supreme joy. To believe that your life is meant to be anything less than supreme joy, to me, is superstition. To believe that there's any power in the universe against you is superstition. You know? And so that's the danger of less evolved astrology. In 20th century and 21st century astrology, thanks to people like Dane Rudyard, who merged it with Jungian psychology and all kinds of other stuff and used it as a tool for free will, for inventing your life, for getting in touch with the cosmic forces and finding your unique way of incarnating them. Like the thing Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Can we be that divinity? You know, he also said, you shall do what I have done and greater things. Well, what are those greater things? You know, what are they? You know? Like, we're going to outdo walking on water? Sure, why not? You know, whatever. You know, it doesn't have to be crazy like that. You know, I love that line from Jesus Christ Superstar. Show me that you're no fool. Walk across my swimming pool. You know? You know, what's our miracle? You know?
Yeah.
You know, what is that which thrills us? If we thrill ourselves, we're probably going to thrill others. you know.
Yeah. Now, that does bring me to something, what the comments you just made, you know, about, you know, not giving up our sovereignty and, you know, and the, and what superstition means and all of that. So when I'm looking at astrology, and I often, you know, write things in my newsletters about, you know, here comes another Mercury retrograde, and people go, oh, God, oh, no, another one. But for me, it's like, yeah, okay, I know I'm going to have challenges with my electronics, things like that, but I feel like those times are maybe intended to help us, you know, look at things we might need to go back and correct. That's my way of looking
exactly.
at it. What
yeah,
do I need
people...
and correct so I can be the wholeness of who I am? That's
exactly,
my way.
Exactly. Mercury goes back over the territory it's already covered, right, to take mm-hmm. a fresh look. I remember one time trying to put on a play with Mercury retrograde. I couldn't get anybody together for a rehearsal. I had to rehearse them all separately. And then the last minute, I stuck in my girlfriend for a cameo, and she stole the show.
Very but,
you know, I was born under Mercury retrograde, so I kind of get people to take a second look, you know?
Yeah. No. It would be good for you to comment on, and then I'd like to open up for questions, you know, from those listening in. Something I'd like to have you comment on is, you know, this is a rather energetic month, astrologically speaking. So, you know, as the example, yesterday we had, you know, the new moon solar eclipse, and you know, so I call that being in an eclipse sandwich. We're waiting for the other one to come at the end of the month, the full moon lunar
yep.
eclipse. And then we have, you know, in that space, we've got Saturn moving from Scorpio to Sagittarius. We've got, you know, Mercury retrograding on the same day as, you know, Saturn moving into Sagittarius. Venus has just come back direct speed. Like, there's just, it seems busy. And could you comment on how you would interpret that as, you know, what
yeah.
we're going through as a collective with that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think also we're coming to the end of what's been several years of Uranus square Pluto, which we haven't had since the 1930s. And where the 60s were Uranus conjunct Pluto. Uranus is genius and invention and making up brand new, and Pluto is deep revolution and transformation. And so we had the seed of reinventing society. We had women saying, we want our piece of the pie. We had minorities saying, we want our piece of the pie. We had gays, you know, everyone just waking up and saying, you know, we got to do this different. You know, we deserve better than this. That was the seed. But now it's like, how are you going to bring it forward, and how are you going to confront all these corrupt systems that don't want that? They want to run the show. You know, and they don't care about you at all, you know. And that's the Uranus-Pluto. We're coming to the tail end of that next few months. We're going to start to land in these new structures, you know, these new political parties like Podemos in Spain that are going to challenge things in November, you know. And so that's one thing that's going on. Saturn going from Scorpio to Sag, Saturn's been 2.5 years in a sign. And so Scorpio is like the really dark stuff of like ISIS or whatever, like really taking a deep look at the deep down inside, you know, at the underbelly of civilization. And Saturn and Sag is let's go for the possibilities. Saturn and Sagittarius. The last time that was there was late 80s. I don't know about that. About 86, 84, 86, Saturn from Scorpio to Sag. Let's see, count back 29 and a half years. Come back 30 years and that gets us 85, 86. In the U.S., that was Iran-Contra breaking out. And let me think here. Yeah, so I think that this Saturn and Sag is going to be about what are the possibilities? Where do we want to go? We need a vision of where we want to go, which is what Sagittarius is all about. You know, Neptune spends 14 years in a sign, and it was in Sagittarius starting in the early 70s. God, I'm hearing Don McLean going, the three men I admire most, the three, Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, took the last train for the coast the day the music died, that when the communal energy of and revolutionary energy of Neptune and Scorpio in the 60s shifted around 1971, became the higher consciousness movement. I remember sitting in an ashram in India in 72 thinking about that line, you know, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost took the last plane for India the day the music died, you know, where it's like, let's, so that was a dreaming the possibilities in the 70s, you know, how we're going to reinvent everything, you know, and then the term New Age came in, which originally meant everything, not just mystical stuff. How are we going to reinvent everything? You know, how are we going to create new kinds of economies and new kinds of business models and new kinds of agriculture, new kinds of all of that? That was the dream. But Saturn, which only spends 2.5 years in a sign, is about the practicalness of that. How are we going to build the spaceship? What's the vehicle to get beyond what is? You know, and you have to go beyond treating symptoms. Well, we got ISIS, we got terror to deal with. Oh yeah, you know, the number of Muslim civilians who have been killed by Western terrorists is at least 10 times as great as vice versa. We just slaughtered a few hundred thousand people over there, innocent people. We've been slaughtering them for centuries, as a matter of fact, ever since the Western colonial powers dominated the world with their greed. So no, we're not even being told the truth. We have to get the big picture of what's going on. Then we have to know where we want to go, and we need to be chess players. We need to have strategy, and we have to understand that the big boys are in control of many things, and they will squash you like a bug if you get in their way. Or as visionary activist Caroline Casey, whom I highly recommend, she said, one of her great lines is, better a trickster than a martyr be, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, be smarter. Be smarter than the big boys. Don't even think adversarial. To really come from the, as I'm if I want to piss off my lefty friends, I'll keep saying Monsanto is God, right?
Oh dear.
You know, as they say in the East, Tatuamasi, you are that. It's all one, and everything, or in the New Testament, all things work together for good for them that love the Lord. Those who love everyone, those who support everyone, you know, those who want everyone to be healed. You know, but they're not fools. You know, what's that other line? If God be with us, who can be against us? You know, if we align ourselves with the higher intelligence, and then we become an avenue of higher intelligence, we become an avenue of divine love and bliss and ecstasy and joy, joy that does not depend on the world or even our own personalities. If we align ourselves with the Tao or the higher power, then we are invincible because we don't. We're not in duality. We're not stuck in us versus them, but we're not stupid either. So Saturn and Sag to me is, what is the discipline of investing in the possibilities? You know, it's also transmutation. Sagittarius in the Tarot is, it's like alchemy. What do they call it? Temperance. You know, it's the ability to channel your passions. And it also means to refine your passions. Don't get caught in fights you don't belong in, you know. And refine your passion. Direct your passion towards the possibilities. Stay endlessly positive. You know, positive and possibility are related. Okay. And
of temperance. Because before I'm a tarot reader. The other aspect of Saturn is Sagittarius. Is that the soul lovingly offers up to be tempered in the fire and transformed.
Exactly.
Exactly. That is what's taking place on a global stage, is that all the collective ego garbage that's been getting us into this mess is really becoming evident, so that we can purge and clean and all of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and also we've got this powerful, it's going to return against a Saturn square Neptune coming up. So the spiritual and the practical, you know, the dreamer and the realist, you know, to bring that together, you know, what if the dream come true, and if millions unborn shall dwell in the world that I shaped in my heart in the noble house of my thought, you know? That the ability to dream clear, that's the nature of entrepreneurs, and that's the nature. One of the things that, you know, for all of his rudeness, that people like about Donald Trump is he's confident. He dreams clear, you know. I'm going to do this. you know? And if I have a setback, fine, I'll get through it. You know, there's one time when he was in the dumps and he said to his daughter, see that homeless guy on the sidewalk there? He's richer than I am, because he was deep in debt at that point, you know? And so that ability to have focused, practical optimism, to invest utterly in the possibilities. And so this Neptune square Saturn is going to be really good for that, for focused dreaming. You've got to dream the future. You can't be waiting. And that means giving up blaming. You know, it means, okay, look, there's a lot of messed up people out there. But as the Course in Miracles says, only what you fail to give can be missing in any situation. So Saturn square Neptune is a big, big thing coming up. And then Neptune in Pisces, for the first time since, the mid-1800s, the Communist Manifesto and, the movement to liberate the slaves. Neptune in Pisces for 14 years, every 165 years, is about universal compassion and oneness, which is now coming back into fashion. Selfishness really came into fashion in the 80s, you know. I'm all right, screw you, you know. Greed is good, all that stuff, you know. And now the idea of we're all one, we're all in it together is going to come to the fore. And in that sense, because we still have another, how many years of Neptune and Pisces? Almost a decade. About a decade. So we still got plenty more of that happening. And Uranus and Aries, it's about reinventing the world, which is the last time that was there was in the early 1930s. You know, just let's reinvent the world. And then Pluto and Capricorn, the last time that was there was the American Revolution. Before that was Martin Luther. You know, where you literally completely confront the old systems of authority. The planet of revolution, Pluto, and the house of authority, Capricorn. You know, where it's like, we're going to reinvent civilization, period. And to the nature of a creator is they know, there's that old line, greater is the one in me than the one in the world. You know, that I am one with the power that runs the world. But there's a discipline of that. How do I care about everyone? How do I forgive everyone? How do I not fight what is not mine to fight? How do I find, as my teacher said, learn how to duck, you know? How do I find that route like water through the rocks? How do I find that destiny that's only mine? How do I align with that so I don't make stupid moves? How do I get that guidance in a steady way? And so to me, we're coming to the end of these radical squares of Uranus and Pluto. We've had about five of them. There's just one more that they come within about a degree of each other, and then that's it. And so this radical era that began basically 2011 with the Arab Spring, with the Tea Party, and with Occupy, where all of a sudden it's like the systems don't work for us. We're going to have to completely reinvent the whole friggin' thing, you know? And so that era that began essentially 2011 is now sort of coming to its culmination. You know, and that also was the Canadian election. And now it's like, okay, where did we just land? Where are we now? Okay, we obviously have to confront the whole system. We have to completely just flush that stuff and bring something new. And people know it from all ends of the political spectrum. You know, they know that. You know, if you look at it from the American perspective and the right, they're looking at the non-politician people to get behind, and on the left they're doing the same thing, you know? And so you got to think like creators. You go back to the American Revolution, the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution. You got to think like creators. I remember when they had the miniseries, John Adams, part two, whatever it was, when everyone is agreeing to declare independence, you know? Okay, North Carolina votes yes. Virginia votes yes. And I said to my friend I was watching it with, I said, I bet you there were a lot of loose bowels that night. And he said, oh, yeah. You know, it's like you go home for dinner, and it's like, oh, man, I really did it now.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, where you go, okay, this is it. You know, I may croak. They may hang me, but I'm going to play my hand, you know? And the first signer of the Declaration, John Hancock, he just signs it really big with that big flourish. It's like, hang me if you can, baby. You know, and then grace comes in. I'll tell you the last story related to this. This is all the Pluto and Capricorn era, like now. I love this moment where George Washington is heading down to Yorktown with his army, and the French general Rochambeau is heading down with his army, and then Washington gets the news that a French fleet has just come up from the West Indies to block off the British retreat. And good old sober George Washington, they say he danced the jig. And I said, man, I wish I had a cell phone camera for that. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Providence intervenes. You know, things just happen to support you, but you got to stick your neck out. You know, but stick your neck out in the spirit. And so Neptune and Pisces, Saturn and Sag, squaring each other this coming year, I think is a major, major event. It's also, Dylan called it, to grasp and let go in a heavenly way. When do you take the reins and when do you flow? You know? And so that ability to build this bridge from heaven to earth, not just a stairway to heaven, but a stairway back down, you know, to me, it's about go into that infinite place and go tap into that bliss. Go tap into that inner fulfillment. Get free of this world. As my teacher put it, if you want to push a car, you need one foot outside the car. Mm-hmm. And so you need one part of you that's not of this world, that is senior to anything in time and space. And again, William Blake, eternity is in love with the productions of time. How do you tap in? And this is, to me, what I see is the reuniting. You know, and a lot of the 60s energy split into spiritual and political wings. Well, they're coming back together. The ability to bring spiritual power to the world in a way that's different from Gandhi or Martin Luther King, that's very different. The ability to create inspired spaces, inspired communities, practical communities. You know, make sure, you know, to me, and that begins with give economic security to your farmers. You know, create local networks where the people who sustain you are free of the predatory bankers. You know, and speak that language. You know, to me, Obama is the most eloquent speaker in English, but in Spanish, we have Pablo Iglesias in Spain, and he's amazing. You know, and he's speaking to the European Parliament saying, we didn't defeat fascism 70-odd years ago so we could become slaves of the bankers, you know. And so you have this language, new language that's developing itself. That's what I mean by the next 2.5 years before Saturn goes into Capricorn, eventually it's going to merge with Pluto, and that's going to be real reinventing of the world. Because when Saturn and Pluto come together, and that's still like 5 years away or so, or a little less, let's say 3-4, let's say 4. When Saturn and Pluto come together, everything changes. Last time was when Brezhnev died, you know, in the mid-80s, you know, and we could reinvent the world, you know. And so after World War II was one time, World War I was another time, where all of a sudden you can totally reinvent the whole game when Pluto and Saturn come together. So that's coming, you know, but less, before Saturn gets to Capricorn and joins Pluto and Capricorn, instead we have these 2.5 years with Saturn and Sag, which is like plan the thing so you're ready, you know. Get your itinerary so when the practical stuff hits, you got your plan. No?
Mm-hmm.
Get your big picture. Where are we going to go? What?
It seems to me that the part of this interplay between the divine will and the individual will, or the apparent individual will, and the influence of the planets, the stars, astrology, is playing in harmony and alignment, so that you're not trying to go one direction while the while the vibration, the resonance of the cosmos is moving a different direction.
Right. And you want to know early. You want to feel early when you're off track.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So then then you're working in harmony. It seems to me that
you have to be, once you get attuned to harmony, once you get used to peace, mm-hmm. you can pick up quickly when you're not in peace, and that's how you become naturally psychic. Mm-hmm. In order to become naturally psychic, which we already are, it's mainly about subtracting. You know, subtract the noise, subtract the wrong desires, subtract the opinions, subtract the resentments, and you get back to that place of pure being. There's a word in Sanskrit that has no equivalent in the West. You have to blow your mind to even understand this word, okay? It's three words in one. Sat, which means truth or being, existence. Chit, which is consciousness. you know, before you have a thought, an emotion, or a sensation, you have just consciousness. And Anand, which means bliss. And so it's saying that which really exists, Sat, is this field of consciousness, Chit, whose nature is bliss. And whether you call it the kingdom of heaven within you, whatever you call it, whatever you want to call it, Nirvana, it is Sat-Chit-Anand. And if I remember going in India, you know, and people just go, Jai Sat-Chit-Anand, hooray, that the ultimate thing that exists is pure consciousness whose nature is bliss, and I can have that anytime I want, no matter what my circumstances are. And I can go there before I die, while I die, and after I die, you know. I can be there eternally. And as one teacher once said to me, a friend of mine said, that's not just a dumb light in there, you know, the third eye. It's not just a dumb light in there. It's intelligence, it's bliss, and it's power. And if we can tune to that, we can move through this world like a hot knife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To bliss, which is what is more important to me than astrology or poetry or counseling or healing or anything, is transmitting that vibration disguised as astrology, poetry, whatever, you know, massage. I don't know, did I get off on a trend or did I answer what you're saying? Go ahead.
So I don't know. Maybe if you have practical advice for people under these current circumstances, like I like to tell people, you know, there are ways to, you know, to look at yourself, to, you know, I'm always looking for tools to hand people and understanding.
Exactly.
So the
way I put it, is my teacher once said, the power will even make the effort to get you connected to that place. All you have to do is put your wish there that you want it. The pure love cannot say no to the call of a true heart. The true heart trumps all meditation, all religion, all ritual, all scripture, all anything. A naked heart laying it down and saying, I'm just a kid wanting happiness, you know? Everything else is details, you know? To get that simple, and to get that simple over and over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Ego comes in when we don't get that simple, when we forget who we are, we forget that fulfillment, we forget that simplicity and that innocence.
Mm-hmm.
Then we build a big structure of who we think we are, what makes us important, what makes us worthwhile, and blah, 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 blah. You exist. That's enough. And you want the happiness, to feel the longing for the magic, and to let that longing lead you. It'll kick the intuition in. It'll bring you the spiritual path. It'll bring you the practice that is your practice, just by asking. Anyway, that's my take.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. It goes along well with Muji talking at one point about the spirituality and saying that it's basically removing all the other aspects that aren't really true, that don't need to be there. So it's not a process of finding something. It's a process of just getting rid of all the other stuff that you don't really need.
Yeah, there's a Lao Tzu says, in the pursuit of the Tao, every day something is dropped.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. There we go. Good time for questions, Richard?
Yeah.
Show enough.
Okay, well, let's open up the phones. Whoever has a question, just unmute yourself and ask away. And if there's too many that come up all at once, well, we'll work it out.
Mm-hmm.
I thought somebody started there and then went dead.
Yeah. We're kind of speechless. Any questions out there? They must be all.
Well, that's interesting. Perhaps you blew them all away, Richard.
Yeah.
Or
speechless now.
If someone's bold enough to...
Hello, this is Leela.
There we are.
Okay.
I was muted. I was trying to talk, but...
okay.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering, and thank you so much for all this information and insights and positivity. Really appreciate that. But I'm wondering about, I'm hearing a lot about around the time of September 28th, Because I keep hearing, like Monica said, about September being such a powerful month, and I guess that's the, is it the solar eclipse that's coming up, or the lunar eclipse? Yeah, the solar eclipse, right?
The solar eclipse was the other day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, okay, so mm-hmm. then it's the lunar eclipse. But is there...
Yeah, 28th.
What,
yeah.
What the, I guess what is...
In North America, it's the 27th. Mm-hmm. In Europe, it's the 28th.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what is the significance? I keep hearing people talking about the very powerful energy at that time, and I'm wondering if you could speak to that.
No, I was just looking at it. The degree of the sun and the moon, the sun degree for the total eclipse of the moon is the fifth degree of Libra, which is a man revealing to his students an inner knowledge on the basis of which a new world could be built. And then the moon degree is a triangle with wings. It's that ability to transcend, that ability to get swept into the spirit, essentially. And let's see, what other planets can be part of that? I guess Saturn's going to throw a nice aspect. What else is going to aspect that? Let me see here. Mercury in Libra, Venus 23 Leo, Mars 2 Virgo, definitely about service. Mars square Saturn, yeah, about that time. Yeah, so that looks to me, looks a powerful eclipse in terms of, again, looking at where do we want to go, what's the knowledge? What is the basis on which we can reinvent the world? Now, the solar eclipse the other day, it's the 21st degree of Virgo, which is a girls' basketball team. It's about cooperation and relationship and doing things together and the tribe and the team and all that kind of stuff. What else do I want to say about this? Yeah, eclipses kind of set the tone. And meanwhile, Pluto goes direct right about just before that too. Okay, so yeah, the revolutionary energy is going to get moving again. And Mercury is squaring Pluto on and off for weeks. It's going to return again in mid to late October, just in time, I guess, for election time in Canada. And so radical thinking, definitely. What else do I want to say about that?
Well, I feel like it could have to do with a spiritual awakening or some kind of awakening with people, like mm-hmm. something. I'm wondering if there an event yeah. might happen or some kind of disclosure or something that would really
yeah.
open people's eyes. So,
right. Who knows what's going to drop in?
Yeah.
We've obviously got elections going on. We've got October in Canada, November in Spain, which could be really huge because they've been bullying Greece, but they're not going to bully Spain so easy, and Spain's going through some radical changes. And they're really like saying, I'm sorry, we're going to stand up to the whole system. We're going to invent something brand new. So that's on a political level. Now, on a spiritual mm-hmm. level, when does Saturn square Neptune? That looks like late November. It's going to be the first time. Let's see when it happens again, if it does happen again. Or is it? Yes, it does, June 2016. And then we'll have a final time. When the hell is that going to be? That's going to be September. That's twice very quickly. And that's it. Yeah, so, but I don't know if this would be a specific dramatic event that'll do it. It could easily be so. I'm just saying that that the powers that be are going to get nervous because they're not going to be able to control things. And the radical forces are going to, they're going to have the divine on their side, and they're going to insist on radical change. And they're going to And again, I think there's many levels to it. We have to see through the false narrative. There's a film that's out about how Halliburton, which was Dick Cheney's company, just completely ripped off the soldiers and ripped off the taxpayer, just utterly corrupt. So, so we got that going on politically. And I think spiritually, I can't help but feel that there's a quantum leap in the master teaching. And that ties in with the eclipse. What is the master teaching? What is that which will empower the humans to be invincible, that will empower those who want to serve, to, like in the 60s, they pretty much knocked it off with a few assassinations. They were able to shut things down, and But how does one create, how can I put it? What is that vision of how we reinvent the world? And I think there are going to be some really good crises that are going to come. They're going to lend a sense of urgency. Climate change is one of them. That's why I'm not particularly nervous about it. Because to me, the scarier it gets, the better. more extreme
like
it gets,
too.
The better. Because that creates the wake up. All of a sudden, we run out of fish. You know, it's like, whoa,
yeah,
what
like,
just
bring
happened?
It on.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when I was stranded in London about whatever it was, 30 odd years ago, and I met a woman who said that the Blitz, when the Nazis were bombing London, was actually the happiest time of her life. You know, because you know the sense of solidarity. She didn't say that. She didn't have to say it. You know, the sense of solidarity, the sense of urgency, the sense of here and nowness, the sense of being in it all together. You know.
Yeah.
So to me, I surrender. This is the key. I mean, to not resist what is the key to bliss. It's not passive, but because to follow the Tao, to follow that guidance, you have to be neither restless nor hesitant. You can't be ahead of the Tao. You can't be behind the Tao. You have to be able to be in tune with what is and feel what it wants to become. And feel what your role is in that. And feel who your allies are. And feel how everything works for you. And this is something to me that's beyond Gandhi and King and the old model of spiritual politics. You know, we need something that's more subtle. You know, and I think these eclipses are really going to help trigger between now and then the next eclipses, which I assume is around the Marches or something. I can look that up, actually. Just takes a second here. 2016. There they are. Oh, yeah, a total solar eclipse on the 8th and 9th, depending on which continent you're on, the 8th or 9th of March. And then we have a lunar one on the 23rd of March. So that's the next one. So, in fact, let's just check, see what the degrees are. This is going to be 4. Instead of 5 Libra, it's going to be 4 Libra, and then it's going to be 19 Pisces. That's all about master teaching kind of stuff, too. Again, in a different way. Yeah. So I think the image of the girls' basketball team is new alliances, new ways of getting together where, you know, quality of relationship matters at least as much as what you're doing together. You know, and then the new knowledge on the basis of which a master knowledge on the basis of which a new world could be built. What is that worldview that is beyond left versus right? And you know that con the way that the big boys try to separate people and get them to judge each other and fight each other instead of understanding what the big picture is. You know, and who's been pulling the strings. You know, but I'm saying is, you know, I think it's important for us to go beyond hoping in political change. No. Find heaven first, then bring the magic to the world. If we're waiting for the world to change for us to be happy, we're screwed.
Uh-huh.
You know, we want to bring the happiness, bring the joy, bring the charisma, you know, to the world, you know.
Mm. Yeah, that definitely seems.
Thank you.
I also think the month of Scorpio is very often the transformative month, the mid-month of fall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Libra brings new liaisons, you know.
We lost you again.
Which is usually around September 22nd, 23rd. In fact, in Eastern time this year, it would be... Let's see, sun goes into Libra on the 20th, yeah, early in the morning of the 23rd, the sun goes into Libra. That as we reach the end of Virgo, the end of the sixth light month in the Northern Hemisphere, to really look at what have I harvested, you know, from way back in the spring, what did I harvest? And I've harvested some big things already, big things, you know. What dragons did I face? What growth did I do? Where have I gotten to, you know, and so Libra brings in new forms of sharing. And then Scorpio often brings deep initiation. Scorpio is called the battleground of the soul. And meaning, can I master my passions? Allow them, don't suppress them. But can I make sure that the passions serve me? Am I following the right passions? Or am I obsessed with the wrong things? What is positive obsession? Scorpio is fixed water, one-pointed devotion. You know, what is it? What's the, because, you know, it's hard to get anything really powerful done without obsession, right? to say, I'll do anything to make that happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Scorpio is about. Is the ultimately the passion or the obsession?
We lost you again.
The pearl of great price, the treasure that thieves can't break in and steal, and the moth and rust don't corrupt. You know, how do I find? How do I be one-pointed in my connection to that which is the source of all fulfillment and all power and all wisdom? How do I be bigger than the universe, you know? And that's so important to me, to understand what a human being really is. You know, that we are both creator and creature. That the creator, all the species are beautiful, but the human species has a particular role to play. To learn how to be the co-creator. As I put it, the creator created us to create. And ultimately, that's what freedom is about. No one can legislate freedom. Freedom is your connection to source, your connection to the creator, so you become the creator. And to me, we're not really going to transform the planet unless we transform the humans themselves. And I wrote a whole cover story for Rhode Island's alternative paper in the 70s about the split of the 60s into spiritual and political wings. And why did I bring that up? Yeah, the inner revolution and the outer revolution. You know, and how to, how can I put it, that once you tap into the bliss, then the bliss brings you back into your body, into form, and then it's now what? You know, now what? You know, I remember my teacher, he was at his ashram or his home in California, and a couple of Latin America devotees, you know, with him, and one of them prostrates at his feet and goes, Maharaji, I surrender. And Maharaji looks down at him and goes, now what? It's like, okay, that's cute, but what does that mean? How does that show up on Monday morning in the traffic jam, you know? What does that change, you know, in day-to-day, in the day-to-day? What is different? Now that you have – and to me, what it changes is that when you've gone beyond Saturn, when you've gone beyond time and space and form, and you've entered into divine intelligence and divine love and divine power, and you've already gone to heaven, then you come back into your body. You're no longer seeking anything from the world. You're in the domain of what he calls the desireless desire. It's the one desire that comes from abundance, not lack. I've got the love inside. It wants to express itself. It wants to give. And then you beat karma completely, because when you come from abundance and you pour generosity into the world, what's the universe going to pour back to you?
Same.
You've beaten the game completely. You know, when you found that desire that comes from the love, from the source, from the creator, from the omnipotence, and you bring that, then you are the son and daughter of God. Then you are, you know, the manifestation of perfection. You're no longer trying to change anything or fix anything. In fact, you only see perfection. All the garbage and all the yuckiness, that's just the growth edge. Or the way I put it, you know, if you took a football and walked it across the goal line with no opposition, nobody would care. But if you're up against the meanest defense in the league, they'll give you a multi-million-dollar TV contract, you know? And so all that nastiness, it's all part of the game. Again, Course in Miracles, only what you fail to give can be missing in any situation. What do I have that brings something magical to the world? Magical and practical, which is the key to everything. That's the Neptune-Saturn square. Magical and practical, you know. And the wise men have pitied the fool that has striven to give a life in the world of time and space among the bulk of actual things to a dream that was dreamed in the heart and that only the heart could hold. Oh, wise men, riddle me this. What if the dream comes true? What if the dream comes true? And if millions unborn shall dwell in the world that I shaped in my heart, in the noble house of my thought? And so I speak, yea, ere my hot youth pass, I speak to my people and say, ye shall be foolish as I. Ye shall scatter, not save. That's by Padraic Pearse, who was the commander-in-chief of the Easter Rebellion that helped set Ireland free after 750 years of slavery. You know, he's also a poet, obviously. You know, and so that ability to bring that to go to that divine source, to fill up on that magic, on that Satchitanand, on that pearl of great price, that treasure that thieves can't break in and steal, find that heaven, and then go, I want to come back to earth and bring this heaven. Not to try to change or fix or teach or heal or anything. The only thing I'm healing is my perspective. I'm healing how I see the world. I see the world as magical. I see the world as full of potential. And my job is not to mess with anybody, but to see what is true in everybody and to relate to and support that. And to find how, this is where astrology comes in, how that one bliss, which is undifferentiated, differentiates and becomes me. How does that one bliss want to come through me in a way that's different from how it comes through any everybody else? You know, and that to me is the lunar light, not the solar light. The lunar light is in your belly. It's that thing that you're at home with. It's your nature. It's that which is, yeah, that's me, all right. This is my way of doing it. You know, I do it this way. And it's not ego. It's just, this is my style. I'm not E. Cummings. I'm T.S. Eliot, you know. I'm
yeah.
not I'm not Sarah Silverman. I'm is that latest one, the round blonde woman that everybody adores now. Amy Schumer, you know. You know, this is my contribution. This is my nature, and I surrender to my nature, and you can like it or not like it, but here I am, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I think that's the whole key, Abby Hoffman called it revolution for the hell of it, you know. It's like everything for its own sake is the doorway to magic. And, you know, when Jesus said heaven is at hand, right here, right now, in you, in your midst, right now. You know, and beware that pie in the sky when you die crap. It's a con, you know, and because, you know, come from the point of view that heaven's already here, there's nothing more confronting than that, because the next question is, if heaven's already here, how come I'm not experiencing it? It's the ultimate confront, you know, but if you can put heaven in the future, then you can, you know, fool yourself.
You know? That's interesting. I hadn't considered it quite that way before, but
it's the most confronting thing there is. There's nothing more confronting than that. You know,
yeah.
And to me, I base my life on that.
Yeah.
Heaven wants to happen now. The ultimate discipline of life is how do I stay in touch with it? And that's what I'm doing with astrology. How do I support people in experiencing heaven? With all the messiness of the day-to-day. You know, you can have your ups and your... of the magic. If someone stubs your toe, they stub your toe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But where's the magic, and how's it perfect, and how, what's the, you know, and how do you find that overall long range slow burn happiness, you know,
mm-hmm.
that comes, I believe, comes only from being in tune with the endless fountain of happiness, you know, whether you call it divine or whatever, I don't care, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's my definition, you know. Who is it, Rob Brezhnev calls it something like the great yum or something like that is his word for God, right?
Yum.
If God ain't the great yum, I'm going to check out the devil. Sorry, you know.
Shall we go for one more question?
Yeah, is there anybody else out
there? Yeah.
Any other questions? Don't forget to unmute yourself.
Yeah. That helps.
Doesn't sound like it. I have one other question in relation to Leela's question a bit earlier. Have
mm-hmm.
you thought about the astrology around the Pope's visit?
Ooh, that'd be nice.
It's very in that this first time the Pope is White House having a private audience with the president, also going to have a closed session in Congress, and also on this visit is addressing the UN. All of that happening.
Oh, yeah, that's hot. You know, yeah, but yeah, I guess it would be great to know exactly. Do you know the day he's arriving?
I believe it's the 22nd of this month, and then I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really?
27th or 28th, which totally makes sense from what you said earlier.
So there's something else he's doing.
Oh, that's what? He said, what's going to be 27th, 28th? UN? What?
I believe he arrives on the 2nd, then he's talking with, in the White House with the President on the 23rd and Congress around that time as well.
Well, that's great. Right on the equinox, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're darn right. Absolutely. They plan all these things way ahead. I'm sure they have a whole cadre of astrologers and psychics and everything to plan it all out. It's like 9/11.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. You know, Hitler had supposedly had five astrologers reporting independently, and then the British hired an astrologer to follow his astrologers, right? What was I going to say? So the evening, as I said, the equinox is early morning, very early morning, pre-dawn on the 23rd. And so he would arrive probably the last day of summer, right? That's 30 Virgo, which is impeccability. 30 Virgo is all about impeccability, about total spiritual concentration, total purity of being. And 1 Libra is about the prototype, putting out the prototype, an example. Like Magna Carta had 1 Libra in it. You know, it was a prototype, you know, of a king who is being subservient to the law, you know.
Mm.
That's a prototype, you know. And so there's something I was going to say. It just was amazing. It just I tell you, these cycles, let me just tell you very quickly. These, for example, the Uranus cycle, which is 84 years, you know, the Civil War was the Uranus return of the Declaration of Independence, which is what, 4?
Okay.
You know, and similarly, the Halifax explosion was exactly the 2nd Uranus return of the founding of Halifax, okay? September 11th was the Uranus return of the Balfour Declaration that established Israel, you know, the settlement, the et cetera, et cetera. And so as I get to prototypes, that I would love to be a fly on the wall when he and the Prez talk. Wow.
Because,
you know, again, the Prez is far more radical in a lot of ways, but you can only get away with so much in D.C., you know. But he's a man who turned down millions in order to be a friggin' community organizer, right? With a hole in the bottom in the floor of his car, right?
Really?
You know? Oh, yeah. Well, the most prestigious post a law student can have is president of the Harvard Law Review. That's it, man. You know? You're made in the shade if you got that. But instead of getting some fancy corporate law, you just went back to Chicago and, you know, in the church basements or whatever and did the community organizing, you know? And Michelle had to decide, man, do I want to hang out with a guy with a hole in the floor of his car, you know?
Wow.
Interesting. And yet he's passed.
Later to him about
many,
what?
And yet he's passed many presidential orders which are extremely repressive of freedoms.
Oh, yeah, I agree. He's been worse than Bush in a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
But my sense is that the game is
Absolutely.
The game is rigged. You know, I mean, he has many layers to him, but I really believe they tell you the instant you get elected, you know, before you even show up, is that, listen, we run the show, and you're allowed to make some changes here and there and there, but you can't touch guns, money, and Israel. You know, that's why his defeat of the Israeli lobby was amazing with the Iran deal. So, it's complicated. He's on all sides of things. But I think Wall Street from the very beginning was running the show. You know, that he hired the fox to guard the hen house. But I'm saying he has many layers to him, and I think he's going to be very happy to get out of that White House, you know, and do whatever he wants to do. But the Pope obviously is a very, very radical guy. Let me see what else is going on that, for the chart of that. Let me look more closely, not just at the sun degree. The Pope is an amazing, amazing dude. I'd like to look at his chart more closely. Okay, so there we are, the 22nd. Oh, that's interesting. Saturn will be at 4 Sag, which is all about being led by spirit. Interesting. Learning how to be led, and I assume he's going to arrive in the afternoon. I have no idea.
I don't know what to look that part up.
We have a Mars Jupiter Venus conjunction. Oh, that's powerful. Mars Jupiter Venus all in Virgo, all within like 4.5 degrees of each other. That's all in Virgo. Yeah, very, very service oriented. And then the last day of Virgo, the sun's going to be in the moon. Let's see here. is going to be probably the tail end of Aquarius when he arrives. The sun will be right on the north node. That's interesting. Again, the north node is at one Libra, which is the prototype, how to bring the prototype. And that's what's in the sky also for like weeks and weeks and weeks. The north node is about to switch. The north node changes every 18 months. It's going to switch from Libra to Virgo very soon. But one Libra, again, is all about let's create the prototype. So how do we want it to be? You know?
Uh-huh.
And so, whoops, let's go back to, oh, I see what we're saying. Let's go back here. One Sag, nine Sag. Oh, I'm sorry, I was confusing some of that with October. The all that, that'll be more for the election, all that Virgo stuff. But Mars will be the tail end of Leo, squaring Saturn. So yeah, that's good. That's you know, how much can you shake up the system, basically? Very practical. It's very practical. And Pluto and Capricorn, let me see. Depending on when he arrives, it could be a Moon-Pluto conjunction, which would be very challenging and confronting. Yeah, I hope he. I mean, the Pope is great at making waves, isn't he?
he is, yes. This one especially.
I mean, no one's ever, I don't think there's ever been anybody ever in 2,000 years in his league. John the 23rd was cool, but.
It's pretty radical when the statement is made that if an extraterrestrial were to ask to be baptized, yeah, I would do it, and then laughs. That's pretty radical. considering that he wasn't asked the question, the statement was made. So, you know, none of this stuff is random, that's for sure. They plan absolutely what they're going to say and what they're going to do. So go ahead.
Here's the biggest thing. There's an exact conjunction of Venus and Uranus. Or a trine of Venus and Uranus. So a trine is easy. It's less confronting. But the other thing here that I should mention is Jupiter opposing Neptune precedes Saturn squaring Neptune. And so the visions are coming in now, and you're seeing that. But when Saturn and Neptune get together, then it's really hard-nosed brass tacks. You know, it's nice to have visions, but they don't mean anything until you confront reality, you know. But Venus trine Uranus exact, that's easeful. That's, you can be original but still be harmonious. You can be radical but still have, you know, good manners. You know. And so that's good.
Well, that's awesome. Do you have anything else you wanted to ask Monica or
exactly what he chooses? Because again, he carefully crafts his message. You know, it's almost like he weighs exactly what he can get away with. You know, and again, this is a man who grew up. I mean, he was, you know, a bishop or whatever under this very repressive and dangerous regime in Argentina. So you learn how to walk the walk. You know, what you can and can't get away with. You know.
He's also a Jesuit, and you know this is also unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe it's been a number of centuries, or there's never been a Jesuit as Pope. So this is a very very dramatic shift in what's going on.
Yeah, and the fact that you know the cardinals chose to vote for him is very interesting. I think they probably knew that we are toast if we don't do some radical changes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're going to have to really do a major image makeover, and I'm sure they got more than they bargained for.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I would think so. Mm.
Well,
yeah.
What do you think? It's a good point to wrap.
Attached to his role.
I think we're ready to wrap up. We're coming up on 2 hours here, so I think we've covered a lot of ground tonight, and it's been some fairly fascinating conversation here, and I don't know. I just noticed every time there's an interaction here, I go away feeling like I've been expanded in some way. So I'll have a lot to to process from this conversation. So I just want to let everybody know that I'm going to post the conversation, the recording up on the website, you know, by tomorrow anyway. I'll have it up on the website so people can listen to it later. And, of course, I'll keep your contact information there as well, Richard, so people can access you directly if they would like to. And so I want to thank you for, you know, coming on and, you know, being a part of the dialogue. And next month we're going to have Leela and Russell and myself talking about what we'll be doing in North Bay in October. So it's we have something to look forward to there, too.
So it's been an awesome journey this evening, Richard. Thank you very much.
Yes.
I hope
you
and enjoyed where we've gone, and those who are yet to listen will also enjoy this journey.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, you know, I just I couldn't imagine life without this discipline, because it just brings the magic. It keeps me on that other plane of you know. It's so wonderful to have that ability to keep seeing life from that place and to keep seeing the magic in people, supporting the magic in people. It's an extreme privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, again, I want to thank you very much. And, you know, Mike and I look forward to checking in with you again at a later time and see where this adventure leads.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to doing the chart of whenever the election gets called in October. I mean, when the results come in.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
If you want to write about that, I'll send it out in my newsletter.
Mm-hmm. You mean after it happens? Sure. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'd love to write about. Send it out in my newsletter. So if you write anything, send it along for me. We'll post it out.
All right. Great. Sounds great.
That's cool. So. Thanks a lot, Richard, for joining us, and we'll check in again soon.
All right. Sounds beautiful. Good night, folks.
All right. Good night.
Bye for now.
Yep.
Bye.